Danny Panzella, reporting from Kennedy Airport in New York City. The TSA has recently announced they will be removing the naked body backscatter scanners from airports. But don't celebrate just yet. They're replacing them with millimeter wave scanners.
No longer will TSA agents view passengers' naked images. Instead, a generic image will highlight potential hazard areas where the machine detects metal or plastics. Some see this as a victory for privacy, even if it's a small one. When the naked body scanners were first introduced in 2010 in response to the attempted underwear bombing, it sparked a nationwide controversy for many travelers, as well as privacy and health advocates. TSA agents all over the country were caught ogling passengers, making lewd comments, and targeting attractive travelers for scanning. One TSA agent even printed the naked image of a celebrity and asked for an autograph, exposing the fact that the machines do in fact print and store images despite what the TSA says. The University of California issued a memo to the White House asking for a moratorium on use of the machines until more research could be done on the adverse effects of backscatter radiation. This recent change does nothing to address the Fourth Amendment concerns about people being treated as terrorists until proven innocent by a scan or a pat-down. I will come back to the health dangers of both types of machines in a moment.
There is a frightening aspect to this story that has come to light over the last several years that no one is talking about.
Let's look at the timeline of how this technology came to be adopted by the TSA, which is a division of the Department of Homeland Security. According to the Washington Post, Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff has been advocating for use of the naked body scanner machines since 2005. But Chertoff admitted in a CNN interview that Congress refused to approve use of the machines.
But there are a few things we could do to make things better. First, we could deploy the scanning machines that we currently are beginning to deploy in the U.S. That has been vigorously opposed by the ACLU and privacy advocates. The House of Representatives voted to prevent us from using it.
The Chertoff Group is a security consulting firm on retainer by Rapiscan Systems, one of the two approved U.S. government vendors for the body scanners. In November 2009, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab's father had reported him to the State Department, believing he might commit an act of terrorism. On December 25, 2009, Abdulmutallab attempted to detonate plastic explosives hidden in his underwear while on board Northwest Airlines Flight 253 from Amsterdam to Detroit, Michigan. Witnesses say the underwear bomber was escorted onto the plane by a well-dressed man in a suit.
The U.S. government escorted him through security without a passport, and we believe gave him an intentionally defective bomb. The ticket agent did not want to allow Mutalab on the flight, and this man was very insistent of it, and then she referred them to a manager down the hallway.
Neither man was seen again by witnesses until Umar attempted to detonate the bomb during the flight. On January 20, 2010, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Michael E. Leiter, made a startling admission. Leiter indicated, "I will tell you that when people come to this country and they are on a watch list, it is because we have generally made the choice that we want them here in the country for some reason or another." Patrick F. Kennedy, an undersecretary for management at the State Department, said, "Abdulmutallab's visa wasn't taken away because intelligence officials asked his agency not to deny a visa to the suspected terrorist over concerns that a denial would have foiled a larger investigation into al-Qaeda threats against the United States."
So here we see not only a concerted effort to allow a suspected terrorist to enter the U.S. by allowing him to keep his visa, we also see a security agent from an unnamed agency escorting the terrorist onto the plane, apparently bypassing normal security measures. Even more disturbing is that this seems to be counterterrorism policy.
According to USA Today, as of November 23, 2010, the U.S. government has paid $41.2 million for body scanner technology to Michael Chertoff's client, Rapiscan Systems. What is frightening are Michael Chertoff's comments on CNN a few weeks after the bombing.
The House of Representatives voted to prevent us from using it, but I think now there's been a very vivid lesson in the value of that machinery.
Did Michael Chertoff use his influence as the head of the Department of Homeland Security to create a public relations stunt to teach Congress a lesson and motivate them to purchase millions of dollars in naked body scanning technology?
The House of Representatives voted to prevent us from using it, But I think now there's been a very vivid lesson in the value of that machinery.
Okay, can I stop you there for a second?
I
know you've been an advocate of this technology for a long time.
Correct.
But just in the interest of full disclosure, I also want to point out in your current role as a security consultant, you are representing some of the companies who manufacture that technology, correct?
Absolutely correct, yeah.
Okay.
It is interesting to note that Umar Farooq Abdulmutallab had originally pled innocent and had even claimed in pretrial conferences that he was given the bomb by intelligence agents. He later changed his plea to guilty, which abruptly ended his trial. Did Chertoff use his connections to allow a patsy into the country with a DUD explosive?
In the years to follow, the backlash produced protests and opt-outs, which led to TSA's implementation of the enhanced pat-down, sometimes referred to as gate rape, which included touching genital areas, as well as agents putting their fingers inside the waistband of passengers' pants. In October, TSA announced it would be removing the backscatter machines in an attempt to speed up the screening process. They said they would replace the machines with millimeter wave scanners and move the slower machines to smaller, less traveled airports. Now, just a few months later, the TSA has changed their tune. Now they say Congress has mandated that the naked images be changed. Rapiscan says they can't come up with a software modification by the June deadline, so the machines are being scrapped, and the TSA will purchase more millimeter wave scanners from L3 Communications. So what about health concerns? Numerous studies conducted by prestigious universities and health authorities, including Johns Hopkins University, Columbia University, the University of California, and the Interagency Committee on Radiation Safety, have warned that the devices will lead to an increase in cancers, despite the fact that almost every independent
Good evening, everybody. This is Danny Roldan with you live on another Sunday. I will be joined today by Timothy Crosby. He's my co-host for this evening. Dan is still on hiatus for a little bit. Tim, are you with me? Tim. Okay, Tim is not with me right now, but he's supposed to be co-hosting. That's weird. Let me see if I can get him on. Anyway, while we wait for Tim to wake up from his slumber, I'll start the show off. A few topics that are going on right now in the, making its way around Liberty Circles and stuff like that is this whole thing with the Duck Dynasty. I don't watch the show. I don't care about the show. I don't care about the guy, Phil, that made the comments about gay people on the show. I don't care about that. I don't at all. I haven't even been involved in the conversation outside of a few Facebook conversations regarding freedom of speech. Tim, you're with me right now, right? Are you here?
Yeah, man. I was there originally. I don't know why I couldn't hear me. Something must have been wrong, but it's all good. I'm here now.
Yeah, bro. You know, for anyone that's just tuning in, you know, Tim is one of the new co-hosts that's going to be joining us from time to time officially on Ragamuffin Radio. And Tim, tonight was your time to shine to do the whole introduction. I kind of sat there,
yeah,
the song played, and
I said like a little opening, but you know, I guess because I was listening to the show previously, I couldn't get on, but you know, next time we'll get it right.
Well, that's cool, man. Hey, you know what, Tim's got a new show that's on this very station on Blog Talk Radio. I think it's Sunday nights from 6:30 to 7:00. It's a What is it, a Sovereign Action Radio Network?
Sovereign Nation Radio, SNR. You go to facebook.com/SNR-Tampa to find it. Myself and Nick Wyman are going to host it. The regular show is going to be on Sundays, like you said, from 6:30. We're going to extend it more than a half hour. Just doing that half hour, we decided we needed much more time. We actually have a website launching real soon. I mean, it's up right now, but I'm not going to post the link anywhere because it's under construction. But, you know, we're going to do everything independently as possible and try to blow it up. And, yeah, we're actually going to do it. We're doing another show tonight at 11 o'clock. It's just going to, we're trying to do as much as we can, so whenever we have time.
Oh, awesome, man. Hey, well, you know, I try to give it a little intro so you can, you know, brush up on the whole radio thing, man. Got to make sure, bro.
Yeah,
all technical difficulties need to be ironed out beforehand.
Yeah, man.
I always log into the show like a good 5 or 6 minutes early, and I just leave my phone on mute, just sitting there and stuff like that, and everything, just so, you know, just in case. So I would recommend kind of like getting ahead of the ball on that too, you know. But like I was saying, man, you know, last time we spoke on your show yesterday, when I called in, you guys were talking about the whole Duck Dynasty thing. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, you know.
No, neither did we. You know, we brought it up for about 10 minutes, but yeah, I was hearing what you were saying. You know, I think there's other stuff.
But here's what bothers me about that thing. Here's the two things that bother me about the Duck Dynasty thing. Well, here's the two things that I take from it. Number one, when it comes down to freedom of speech issue, we both discussed it. You know, A&E is a private company. They're a private network. If they feel that it's not best for business to have a guy on, you know, to have a guy on your show that believes in such things, then it's their choice to fire him. No, he didn't say it on the show. No, he wasn't representing A&E when he said it. But at the same time, look, like I gave the analogy yesterday about a pro football player. You know, a pro football player can end up in the news getting arrested for driving with a suspended license. Was he wearing his football jersey? No. Was he representing the Jets or the Giants or the Bengals, Eagles, whatever? No, he wasn't representing his team at the time. But people know who he is, in particular kids that might have his trading card, that might have a football signed by him, that cheer for him every day, they have him on their fantasy team, and to see that person that's in a public eye get in trouble for, you know, drug possession or drive with a suspended license or beating his girlfriend up, you know, sometimes players do get cut from the team for those reasons. There's been a lot of pro athletes that have lost multi-million dollar contracts because they just can't seem to, you know, not screw another person's wife.
That's part of their contract,
though.
That's something that they sign up to. They have to keep a public image. They have to represent the company well or the corporation.
And you know
what,
though? Well, we don't know if there was anything like that in this guy's
sales contract. Yeah,
exactly.
And that was what I was going to say is, you know, we don't know. I don't even know where to look for something like that. I don't even know if it would be public information. You know,
Tim? He's got a contract regarding that. It's called common sense. It's called having a business acumen. I mean, the guy's rich. They invented some duck whistle. Obviously, he's an entrepreneur, a very successful entrepreneur. And for him to, you know, to go out there and say something that, you know, for someone that's got that kind of money, that knows about marketing, that knows about running a successful business, for him to come out and say something controversial that might end up, you know, coming back and hitting them in the long run, money-wise, it's not a smart move, you know. A&E is just going to make that decision.
Yeah, but
say, hey,
he obviously
know,
doesn't give a crap about that because he just says it anyway. I mean, it's his belief, and let him believe it. And if they want to kick him off, let him kick him off. I personally think the show could do fine by itself. Like they're saying, it's one of the number one shows. You want to know what's funny? It's on in my living room right now. I could turn around the corner and I could put Duck Dynasty live on TV right now. You know, it's a good show. Watch it, and you know, if they want to kick him off, kick him off. I'm not going to say that. I think that there might be a discriminatory issue unless there's a public image clause. But, you know, to be completely honest, I really don't care enough anymore. Like, I'm so mad at myself for missing out on the NDAA, something that was much more important that happened at the same exact time. We're falling for the same crap over and over again.
Exactly. And
you
know what
I'm saying? And,
you know, well, the government's always going to – they pass things like the NDAA, and they pass legislation when, you know, during holidays and during times
exactly.
of distraction.
Everybody was
and
all
when
up
Congress
in arms
in
about
there.
We need to watch. Yeah, everybody wanted to watch and watch and watch, and then as soon as this thing happened, it was just – it took over, you know?
Well, you know what, though? That's because these issues – look – it just goes to show that these issues are hotbed topics when it comes to bigotry and racism and you know, and homophobia and stuff like that. You know, they're issues that are very sensitive. You know, you do have a very large gay community in this country. They spend money. They may or may not watch the show. And I'm not gay, but I'm all right. Let's pick my demographic. Okay, I'm half Puerto Rican, half Italian. Okay, let's say I'm watching a show that I enjoy, right? And then there's the guy on the show that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says something in a magazine or an interview where he hates Puerto Ricans, you know? I may lose interest in the show just off the simple fact that this guy said something so ignorant towards someone of my demographic. Now, if you know, that's going to hurt viewers, and it's not just gay people that may watch the show. It could be straight people like me that don't appreciate that type of bigotry that'll say, you know what, screw this guy. You know, like,
let him decide that, and, you know, and it'll be played out however it's going to be. If they don't go to A&E, they make their own, you know, whatever. Are you going to say that they can't be allowed on television, though? I mean, like we were talking about yesterday on Sovereign Nation, there was reports that gay activists were calling for him to be re-educated. I mean, like, how far do you guys really want, or not you guys,
well,
but you
no,
know,
we
the
said
argument,
that, probably,
like, how far do we really want to, how far do we really want to push this?
There's no re-educating that, man. Like I said, man, if it's a religious thing, you know, you're not going to re-educate somebody who's already got their mind warped by religion. You know, to all of a sudden, like, you know, because in order to re-educate somebody who doesn't like gays or thinks gays are wrong on a religious standpoint, you'd have to dismantle their entire religion. Good luck with that. We do have some callers on in the queue. We're going to get to you guys in a few minutes. The thing that I wanted to touch up on first thing was a freedom of speech issue and a business from a business standpoint. And here's another thing that I'm going to take this A&E situation with this Duck Dynasty, and I'm going to branch into another conversation that I wanted to have. I thought about it earlier today while I was, you know, I was on Facebook just chatting and talking to people here, and, you know, I had Antonio Bueller on my show about a month or so ago, and most people that are listening know who he is. If you don't know who he is, he's a peaceful streets activist from Austin, Texas, who does a lot of cop filming, anti-police, you know, police watching, holding cops accountable. And not too long ago, I'd say probably within the last, like, 2 to 3 months, he started a crusade single-handedly against bigotry in the liberty movements, you know, homophobic, racist, sexist, ethnocentric people that are just infesting the liberty movement that I've noticed personally. I've had a conversation with somebody on Danny Panzella's page, and this guy was literally trying to tell me that within 50 years there's not going to be any white countries left in the world, and that what's happening to white people in the world is genocide, like what happened to the Jews or what happened to Native Americans. And you know, there's people out there that are really, I mean, and there's a lot of racism in the liberty movement. And there's a lot of homophobia in the liberty movement too, because the liberty movement attracts a lot of Christian conservatives, and Christians will push that stuff down your throat. I've had it out with Christians that are libertarians that were Ron Paul supporters and now support Rand Paul. And they, you know, when you get in the topic of gays, it's like, oh, it's a sin, blah blah. Then they start throwing Bible verses out. You saw on my Facebook today. We had a thing about it today. You know. Yep. So that's a topic that I would like to tackle, and, you know, we got some callers on the line. I'm going to bring them on. Maybe they'll join in. Or anybody, look, 347-324-3704. Even if you want to call in and switch gears, you got something else on your mind that's totally unrelated to what we're talking about, that's cool, man. Just call up.
Yeah, bring
it on. We need callers. We want to hear from you and stuff like that. Now, I'm going to bring before I bring our first caller on from 201 area code, Tim, give me about, like, 2 or 3 minutes. What goes on in your mind when I talk about bigotry in the libertarian movement?
That it's kind of ridiculous. It makes us all look like a bunch of hypocrites because we're all standing around. Yeah, well, we're all standing around. I don't see the problem. I don't view it as a problem because I just see it as this worthless infighting because we're all standing around talking about how we want to give people the freedom to choose and to have, you know, the right to have their own ideas and do things their own way, as long as they don't harm each other and stuff, you know, these basic principles. But at the same, then you're going to say that, you know, like, what is the solution to that problem? Is like my biggest question. Like, you're afraid that whites are going to go extinct because around the world. So you want to stop what? You want to stop them from, you want to stop other races from progressing? Like, what's your solution to that? I don't even get it. But it, to me, it's just worthless infighting. You know, if that's your belief and that's how you want to feel, then that's fine. But we're here talking about, you know, laws that are going to be determined, that, like, basic rules for society that we're going to try to establish here. You don't need to be taking personal ideas and, you know, beliefs into it too that far. You know, if that's what you think, then, you know, I guess we're going to find out. And if you really feel that way, then just breed with white people and try to stop it on your own. But you can't force other people. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. That's how it comes
all
across
right,
to
cool.
me.
All right, well, I'm actually, you know what, I'm going to bring on 915 area code first. I think 201's Pete, so I'm going to bring him on after 915. 915, you are on the air with Dan and Tim. What's going on, buddy?
Hello. Do you understand the definition of homophobe or phobia?
Well, phobia, the suffix phobia, I think, is fear. And I'm not,
no,
and I know
actually it's not. No, hold on. It's inordinate fear, irrational fear. And
okay.
because I disagree with someone's lifestyle, based on a Christian teaching, which is a teaching of Jesus Christ, who I call Yeshua, because that was really his name.
Right.
That Yeshua said that immoral behavior would be, you know, a pretty big write-off on getting into heaven. Paraphrasing, of course, but now, hate sin is not the same as hate person, number one.
Right. Okay.
So, and I don't fear homosexuals. Do I like their sin? No. Do I fear them? No. So I am not a homophobe, okay? And I find it utterly disgusting and disreputable that you would misuse that term. Number one.
Well, look, Larry, hold on. Before you go on, let me just address that real quick. I'm only using it in the ubiquitous term that it's universally known for. Literally, I know the definition of a phobia, like arachnophobia, agoraphobia. I have certain phobias myself, and they're legitimate irrational fears. I have an irrational fear of bees. I get a bee near me, and I freak out. I almost crash my car. If there's a bee in the car. So I know what a phobia is. When I say homophobia, I use it in the ubiquitous term that it's come to be known now by the majority of people. For example, if I say homophobia to an average person, they'll know what I mean. They may not literally think that means a fear, but they'll associate the word homophobe with a bigot. And that's what I mean. Maybe I used the wrong words, but
that's wrong too. It's not even being a bigot. Because he is a believer of having good moral standards, that does not make him a bigot.
But you know what? Then you're saying that being gay is immoral, and who are you to decide that? Because of your religion? Not everybody shares a religion.
I didn't decide it. Jesus did. But anyway, have you read the man's interview that? He didn't say he hated homosexuals. Okay?
I didn't say that he said
but you're
that.
Talking like you, well, you actually, yes, you did. You need to go back and listen to your interview, not interview, but your radio program later. You need to go and read the article. He never said he hated anybody, okay? This whole thing has been done to repress Christians, and it's really quite sad that people that are supposed to be fighting for liberty have no clue what real liberty is, and to go and study the founding fathers might do you some good, okay?
Well, look, Larry,
because they weren't Christian. They weren't based on moral stuff.
Larry, I don't care about religion at all. I don't care. You talk about this whole war on Christianity, repressed Christianity. I view Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Scientologists, Mormons, I view all of them the same. I don't have a particular religion that I target, okay? And when I look at things, I don't see a war on Christianity. And I don't see this whole thing as a way to repress Christianity. Because if that was the reason, they wouldn't even allow this show to be on air. I mean, they know what these people are about when they put that show on.
No, they allow anything on air these days. They just didn't expect it to get so out of hand. It's something
out
that eventually
hand.
They do
Look,
want to
if,
nip
if,
in the bud.
Larry, if it's,
the,
it's, if
also
it's one of the
money
biggest
maker.
Cable show, if it's the yeah, if it's one
yeah,
of the it, biggest rated cable shows ever, and it's a big money maker. Why would A&E
yeah.
really give a crap about Christianity when the money's rolling in? Okay, it's a business decision that they have to take. First of all, he wasn't fired.
Well, A&E has always been really kind of on the left side. They have never been. a friend of Christians, to say the least. That's another story.
You know what? But, friends of Christians, if it's good for business, people are going to be friends of Christians. That's just the way it is. They had a whole thing about Jesus. Well, they had a whole thing about Jesus on, like, History Channel.
It was a fraud, though, dude. I mean, it got started. The whole thing was distorted. They can't tell the truth to save their lives. They mix truth with lies to give you a show. And anybody that's ever read the Bible would know this, okay? But anyway, all that aside, look, here's the main thing, okay? The man did an interview in a magazine separate from GQ, and he was asked about certain things. And so he answered honestly, and he didn't like it because of their left leanings. And so henceforth, they try to make this guy out like some kind of uneducated buffoon, which he is not, actually, okay? And also a bigot, also, which he is not. He is a Christian. He believes in the teachings of Yeshua, okay? Now, if people don't like that, they don't have to be a Christian. But at the same time, you want to force your intolerant behavior upon me, but I can't say no. I refuse. Well,
what do you mean?
That's
not
liberty.
Yeah, well, I don't
okay,
know what you mean about
well,
me forcing.
Not you per se. I'm speaking in general, like you said, ambiguous. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'm going to use that one against you a little bit there. Sorry. But,
right, but
you know, for example, in public school, okay, you can talk about anything under the sun, including pedophilia, but the minute you talk about Jesus in a good way, you can be expelled from school.
Well, Larry,
you know
the way
what,
society
I think,
is going today.
Well, Larry,
I think you're
look,
right,
hold on, hold on, Tim, hold on, Tim. Larry, thanks for the call because I got another caller on
right,
hold. We're gonna build on what Larry just said. Me personally, Tim, I'll let you get in on this too. I don't notice anybody being under attack when they talk. First of all, I've never noticed anybody, you know, I never seen people talking about pedophilia in a way where it's acceptable. And I certainly don't see when people talk positive about Jesus Christ, where it's being in a negative way. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I agree with him. He's making some good points, but I wish he was here because I just want to say it to him directly, but, you know, I just think he's taking it a little too personal because, you know, right now they're attacking Christianity in a way, but they're also attacking all the other faiths too, all the other good moral principle-based things. Like, you know, Muslim, when you break it down, apparently is just as good as Christianity. It's just, you know, it's taken too far on some extent.
Look, Tim, obviously in this country there's a whole Islam, and, you know, I'll use this term, and this term is appropriate. There's a whole Islamophobia. There's an entire fear of the Muslim religion. You know, I agree. Religion as a whole.
We're all being attacked. We're all being turned into this decadent culture. Like, it's all done on purpose. It's all about political correctness and dominating control. They just want to be in everybody's face and telling them how to do and what to do. And,
well, look,
you know,
here's the thing. Here's the thing, Tim, the way I see it. We're going to bring the caller on in a second. Let me just finish this point real quick. You know, there's two parts of this. There's two separate there's two different types of people when it comes to religion. There are people that are religious, and when you're religious, whether people like to admit it or not, religion can be used as a tool to control them because, like Larry was bringing up, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about Larry being a Christian, but it's everything like I believe in the teachings of Jesus and, you know, this and that. And he may or may not go to church. He you know what? I don't know what kind of Christian Larry is. I like the Christians that observe their faith privately. They go to church. You know, they have faith. I don't like religion. I like faith. You know, and there's a big, massive movement of evangelicals and Baptists where, you know, they like to herd people in to church and then dictate to them and control them and brainwash them with all this religious crap, you know, rather than having a faith, rather than personally having the teachings of your religion, you know, maybe going to a church to congregate with other people of your faith and listen to the word. And at the same time, look, if you feel that it's part of your faith, part of being a good Christian to try to spread the word to others, fine. But I noticed that true Christians, just like true Jews, true Muslims, true Buddhists, if they don't attack, and like Larry said, he doesn't hate gays. He doesn't fear gays. He just doesn't agree with the lifestyle as per the teaching of his particular religion. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's when people start to get up out of their seat and start voting for politicians who would like to pass anti-gay legislation. That's when it goes from faith to dogma and religion, and that's when it becomes detrimental. And that's when I start to disagree with it. And that's why, me personally, I don't like religion at all. 201, you're on the air with Dan and Tim.
What's going on, guys? It's Pete.
Hey,
what up,
Pete? Hey, you know what, Pete? I'm glad you. You know what, Pete? I'm glad you called. You know, because this is a topic that hits close to home. Pete, you're gay, right?
Absolutely, man.
Okay, let me
ask
you
a question.
You did
that. You're a gay,
well,
right?
someone asked me, "Are you Italian?" Right? Yeah. You know, let's not be sensitive about it. It is what it is.
No, we
all appreciate everybody for who they are, not the choices that they make. Whatever. Blah blah blah. You know. Okay, so that's your lifestyle. You're gay. Nothing wrong with that. Let me just straight up ask you right off the bat. You're a libertarian. You call yourself conservative. How does it make you feel that you're conservative, yet everywhere you look, conservatives are talking about no gay marriage, man and woman only. They want to pass laws that prevent people like, you know, you guys from getting married, pursuing the same rights as anybody else. I mean, you're a Rand Paul supporter and a Ron Paul supporter. A lot of Christians are Ron Paul supporters. You know, a lot of Christians are kind of anti-gay. Well, not kind of. They definitely are. As a gay adult, how do you see yourself fitting in to that movement?
Well, the interesting thing is that what happens here is, and you're hitting really, you know, you're hitting really hard on the liberal talking points. You're almost really good. Like, I feel like I'm on MSNBC right now.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding. The interesting thing is that if you go back to the civil rights movement, and they did this to Goldwater, what essentially they did is they said, you know, oh, well, if you're against this, then you're against, you know, blacks having rights, or, you know, if you're against a certain thing nowadays, now you're against gays having rights.
Right.
You know, my biggest thing is that you have to understand the Constitution and the flow of things is that we are the United States. We're not America. So it all falls back on states' rights and having the individual power to pursue, you know, what is individual about that state. So that's where I stand on it. I just feel that, like, listen, nothing for nothing, but in an ideal world, you know, the state would be there to simply, like, you know, acknowledge the marriage and essentially litigate divorce. But what has happened is we have gone from common law marriages to essentially regulated marriages on the state level, where you have to basically beg the state or pay the state, you know, and say, can I get married, you know? You have to ask the state whether you're straight or gay. Am I acceptable to be married? And that's my biggest problem, like, when it comes to, because it's like, you know, all these gays flock to Obama, and I was like, oh my God, like, what is going on? Like, I'm like, if there was any candidate that you should support that had your back 100%, if you were gay, it would have been Ron Paul. Because Ron Paul was petitioning to get the state out of marriage.
Hold up, Pete. But can you blame people? Can you really blame gays for going to Obama and going to a liberal? I mean, every time you hear something from the right wing, and I associate right wing with Christianity, like that to me, that in this country, that goes hand in hand. And when I hear, you know, people from the right, libertarian, whatever, and they start bringing the whole Christian thing into it, all it is maybe it's not. Well, you know what? It is anti-gay. And Larry is the exception to the rule, because 90% of the Republicans that I speak to, and if you want proof of that, me and Tim, and you are part of the Staten Island Politics page, you can go there and just have conversations with the Republicans there. See, Larry's not a typical Republican. He's a freedom guy. I'm talking about the regular Republicans that watch Bill O'Reilly. You know, they'll watch Megyn Kelly. Yeah. They're tuning into Fox News and Breitbart, and that's where they get their information from. I'm talking about those people. They're staunchly anti-gay. You know, and you can't help but be part of that crowd if you're going to be libertarian, because now they're attaching libertarian to GOP.
The interesting thing is that I'm glad you brought up Megyn Kelly and Fox News and stuff like that, because this goes back to Larry's point and stuff like that, where he feels like there is a certain, you know, war on kind of Christianity and stuff like that. You know, the biggest thing is that what the media does is they ask provocative questions. And the most provocative questions are going to generate to the most, you know, provocative responses, and that's going to translate to money. So that's, they're in the business to make money, and that's essentially what they're doing. You know what I mean? The whole Duck Dynasty thing is like, you know, they give the interview and stuff like that. Well, of course they're going to ask some off-the-wall questions and tough questions because they want to sell magazines or whatever the fuck they were trying to sell, what was going on. It's so interesting. My brother, who's straight, had said, you know, I caught his post on Facebook, and it said something about, like, I think the guy's name is Pat Robertson or something like that, or Phil Robertson. I had no fucking clue who this guy was. And my brother said, thank God A&E fired him. And my brother's, you know, he's younger. He's a younger brother, and he's very protective of me, so to speak. And, you know, I look at it, and then I find out what's going on, and I'm like, but he has the freedom. You know, this gentleman has the freedom of speech to whatever. The company that he signed the contract also has the freedom to act in whatever. That's totally fine. My biggest thing is the PC war, this politically correct war that the liberals are using to their advantage and to essentially annihilate the Republican Party or conservative views, which are libertarian views too. You know, it's insane, and that is what's going on. It's not a war on Christianity. It's a PC war that essentially is generated from the communists in the 30s. You know what I mean? That is what's going on.
It's a war on freedom. That's what it is. You know, they're just picking and choosing what they want. They just
this whole thing with the war. I'm gonna let Tim jump in there in a second too. But this whole thing with, you know, that whole war on Christianity thing is nonsense that the right is pushing, man. And the reason why they like to look, you know, what's a really good book? A really good book to read is American Fascists by Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges is leftist, but he actually graduated from Harvard Seminary School, whose father was a pastor. So Chris Hedges is left leaning. But he's also a Christian that passed one of the most prestigious seminary schools in the country, and his dad is also a pastor. So at the same time, it's a really great book to hear how right-wing Christians in this country that make up the majority of the electorate, that make up the majority of the population in this country, they like to paint themselves, and if you disagree, go right, you know, let me know. But they kind of like try to paint themselves as this victim, as some sort of rallying call. Like, especially after Obama won a second time, it's like, cause, you know, us Christian white males, we're the minority in this country now, and we got to it's kind of like a rallying call. Like, they paint themselves as this helpless victim, that Christians are being persecuted all over the country and stuff like that. And, like, I don't see it that way. You know what I see it as? I don't see it as Christians being persecuted for being Christian. When people are – when the whole thing with the happy holidays and Merry Christmas and, you know, the nativity scenes everywhere at the state capitol that people want taken down, the tides are turning in the sense that our society is becoming more secular. Christians are not going to like that because they're religious. I actually prefer a secular society, and I would like people's religion practiced in private, just like I would like any other people's belief systems and stuff practiced in private. Look, I don't want people having sex on a park bench in front of me and my kids. I don't want people practicing voodoo on a park bench. If you have your own thing to do, do it privately. If you want to have and even if you want to do something publicly and have a Christian or a Muslim or Jewish or Scientologist get together, if you want to, you know, go be a missionary and knock on doors, you know, that's fine too, you know, as long as it's not intrusive. But at the same time, it's like for a very long time, people in this country have felt like, you know, Christians in particular, because they're the largest demographic, religious-wise, they kind of push the religion everywhere. It's like, you know, Merry Christmas for a long time, and that's traditional because it is the Christmas season. And it's like people that don't celebrate Christmas, it's like, look, you know, Eid is a Muslim holiday, and it comes and goes in this country because there's not that many Muslims in the U.S. But imagine you're walking down the street, you're a white Christian, and you know how Muslims are being portrayed in the media in this country, and a Muslim goes, Eid Mubarak, and gives you a high five or whatever, or gives you a pamphlet or a hug for Eid, you know, or for any other religious holiday that they might celebrate. You know, you might look at them and say, yeah, thanks, but I'm not Muslim, I don't celebrate that. You know, Christmas is a Christian holiday, and it's everywhere in the media. It's in the cartoons when kids watch. It's on TV. It's everywhere. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. I just see people, you know, switching to happy holidays as a way to say, hey, not everybody's Christian. And I know I'm going on in a rant, but let me finish this real quick, and I'm gonna let you guys go at it you and Tim go at it about this. There's other holidays this time of year besides Christmas. There's Hanukkah. There's Kwanzaa, which people say is made up, but doesn't matter. All holidays are made up. There's Boxing Day, Three Kings Day that Hispanic people celebrate. They don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate the day that the Three Kings actually arrived in Bethlehem after Jesus was born, supposedly. And there's New Year's. So there's a lot of holidays that are going on at this time of year. It just so happens it coincides with the winter solstice. I'm not going to get into that whole topic, but the point is there's a lot of holidays that are coming up at this part of the year. So instead of just saying Merry Christmas, what's wrong with a generic Happy Holidays? So, you know, if I say Happy Holidays, I'm not just wishing you a Merry Christmas. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Boxing Day, Happy Three Kings Day, and a Happy New Year all rolled into one. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But here's the thing, is when you start saying, okay, so you're handing out, if you're a Muslim and you're handing out pamphlets and stuff like that to people, if you're anything, handing out pamphlets of anything, the majority, you know, to a mass, you know, of people, essentially, you may not target the right individual every single time.
Well, forget about handing something out.
No,
what if it's just Eid Mubarak? What if they just wish that to you? What if you go into a store and the storekeeper's Muslim and he has a whole thing Eid Mubarak and he's wishing it to every single white person and black person and Hispanic person that's not Muslim? I walk in and out of the store. Do you think that people will say, "Oh, I'm not Muslim, thanks"? Do you think there'd be people that would say that?
Yeah, of course.
Either or. Somebody wishing you good favor or, like, you know, good day or whatever the case is. I mean, it's perfectly fine. But to sit here and suggest that, like, Muslims are persecuted, essentially, or discriminated against. No, but you've said that Muslims are persecuted or I'm sorry.
Of course they are, but not because of their holiday, but because of the whole war on terror thing.
That's obnoxious. I will say
that's
a small minority. Yes, there's a small minority of that going on. That is
what are you talking about?
That is
what
absolutely obnoxious. Hey, listen,
dude,
you live in Florida now. I don't know the last time you've lived in Staten Island, but I'll tell you this. I live right in Bayonne, which is right across the Bayonne Bridge, which separates the both of us. I will tell you this. There is nothing that is going on that's discriminatory or persecuting against
Do you remember a couple years ago? Look, I've been living in Florida since 2010, and this happened while I was in Florida around 2010, 2011. So this is recent history. Do you remember not too long ago a bunch of Republican numbskulls going to Manhattan and protesting a mosque near Ground Zero? Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember when they protested a mosque in South Beach, Staten Island? An archdiocese from the Catholic Church was selling the property on the church to a Muslim group to build a mosque, and people in Staten Island that were Republicans were coming all over the place with anti-Muslim signs, "We don't want your mosque in our neighborhood," and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something else. I was down here working for Kia at the time with the whole New York City mosque, and it was making big news. And I'm talking to this older guy who's selling cars, and he's a big Christian. I mean, he came into work every day with Jesus on his tie. And the guy's telling me, and I asked him a serious question. I said, if Muslims came to your neighborhood and built a mosque, would you be for it or against it? He said, against it. I said, why? I just wouldn't want that in my neighborhood. I go, why not? What if there was Muslims in your area that didn't have a place to pray? And he just wouldn't give a straight answer. He said, I don't want to answer it. I don't have to answer to you right now. I'm just telling you I wouldn't support it. White guy, Republican from Florida. Now, come on. I'm not an idiot. We're not idiots here. You can pretty much deduce using logic and past experiences from people with that same type of demographic, white, older, and Christian, that the reason why this guy doesn't want a friggin' mosque in his neighborhood is because the news has him hating Muslims because supposedly they knocked our towers down on 9/11. It doesn't take a genius to connect those dots.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, listen, again, all right, so I run a tactical shop which deals with cops, fire, EMT, and we work locally with both New Jersey and New York. So we deal with this, and we get people on the regular and stuff like that. It is so not that. What you have to understand about certain specific mosques, which was that specific mosque that they wanted to put right next to the fucking Ground Zero.
Who cares? Who cares it was next to Ground Zero?
No. Hold on.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say was specifically, because you brought that up, And there's
well, no. I'm asking you. You just brought up and saying it's that particular mosque because it was next to Ground Zero. What does it matter?
No. There's more to the story, though. Hold on. What essentially went on with that mosque is it was very hush hush. What the FBI had to do was actually infiltrate that mosque because
why
every time
is the FBI
they went in
infiltrating
there
a mosque
peacefully? Because let's keep it real.
Is the FBI
saying?
Infiltrating Catholic churches and Christian churches? Are they treating
Absolutely.
Christian churches the same way? No, they're not. Where? When?
What?
Show me.
What? The IRS is basically targeting conservative organizations.
And they were also
targeting
liberals as well. That story, the IRS is targeting people for tax purposes, but the FBI isn't invading Christian churches and evangelical and Baptist churches anywhere under suspicions of terrorism.
You are absolutely. Listen,
show me.
All right.
Show me
Timothy McVeigh wasn't
concede.
A terrorist, right? Timothy McVeigh
was
wasn't white.
Did he
wasn't
do
a terrorist,
for the
right?
Did he do it for the Christian church? Was he bombing
it doesn't
for
matter.
The Christian church? Well, of course
was
it
he
matters.
White? Was he white?
It doesn't
was
matter
he
if he was white. There's,
wouldn't they
look,
go back
white,
to his religious?
There's white Muslims. Yeah. There's white Jews. There's white Christians. Look, white is a Caucasian is a race. You could be any race and be a religion. Okay, we're talking about the discrimination and the singling out of mosques and Muslims in this country for religious persecution by the government, by the media. We brought up the mosque. You said something about, the FBI had to infiltrate it. Well, why is the FBI infiltrating mosques? You know why the FBI? I'll answer that for you. The FBI is infiltrating mosques because of the narrative that Islam and Muslims are in this country to blow things up, so they got to go after Muslims.
That's the same small majority that says the Christian right runs the Republican Party. That is
of course
the same
they do,
small
man.
Majority
of
mindset.
Who runs the
you
Republican Party?
You're crazy.
Dude,
you are
who
crazy.
Okay, I'll pull up.
The
you know
same
what?
People that run the Democratic Party.
Hold on.
The same
I'll
exact people.
Tim hasn't said a word in a minute.
I'm sorry, Tim.
You guys talk. No, I'm going to
you guys
talk,
are good.
And I'm gonna Google the demographic of Republicans, and I'm going to see what religion comes out the most. And give me a few minutes. You guys go at it, Tim. Go ahead. For Tim, here, build on this. Tim, do you think that there's a persecution or a target as far as Muslims go in this country?
Yeah, and like I was saying before, it's an attack on all of us, and it's just kind of ridiculous that we have to fight about who's being attacked more. We're all under attack. Wake the hell up. Like, there's some serious shit going on. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. Tim, I don't mean to cut you off. But, the reality is that, and people, I saw a meme on Facebook, and what was so interesting was, the attack, they totally attacked Megyn Kelly on this whole thing, where they talked about, essentially her saying that Jesus, or I'm sorry, that Jesus was white and that Santa's white. But Santa's a make-believe, person. We can go back and fact check it. Santa, Kris Kringle did exist and stuff like that, and then the holiday kind of sprung from that. But the whole idea is it goes back to, listen, just because things make you feel uncomfortable, it doesn't mean that we should have to change them. And in a sense, listen, I was talking about the FBI before infiltrating, that specific mosque and stuff like that. Because what was going on, essentially, with these guys just completely shut down, and they were like, you could not get any info outside of anybody. You know what I mean? I have a mosque that is right next door to my business in Bayonne, and you cannot get a word out of these guys or anything that goes on up in their mosque.
Okay,
or
they
up
have
in their
they
building.
Have they, so what do you so you're a small government libertarian. Why the hell should a religious group have to give any information to the government? Whatever happened to rights and privacy?
They get a tax break, right? They get a tax break, right?
Who cares if they get a tax break? What does
they
that have to do with anything? But what does that have to do with anything?
Listen, why can't a white person go up there and worship? Let me tell you
what are you talking about?
Why cannot a white person go up into that Muslim faith and sit there and worship?
I have a friend that's devout Muslim. He's Palestinian and Jamaican. He used to live in Staten Island. He invited me to his mosque, and I've been in his mosque while people were doing their prayer thing, and no one even gave me a second look as long as I took my shoes off before I walked on the carpet. And there were white people there, and there were black people there, and there were Middle Eastern people there. And if you go to Mecca, when they walk around that giant monolith and do their pilgrimage, there are white guys with red hair, blonde hair, blue eyes everywhere praying. There is no, it doesn't matter, man. And the same thing with Christians, too. There are Middle Eastern Christians, there are black Christians, there are Hispanic Christians. Look, religions don't care what your race is for the most part, as long as they can recruit you.
I say to what I say that, you know, like I said earlier, what I say to this, essentially, you're never, listen, there are certain groups in this country, despite religion and stuff like that, they need to be on the different spectrum and stuff like that, that they have to be looked into. You know what I'm saying?
Why do they have to be looked into? How is that small government?
Well, listen, no, here's the thing, though. But you're coming, all right. How I would see small government is that essentially you don't have a free ride coming over and starting a business or starting a mosque or starting anything for free.
Look, you're going off on something that's totally – look, I found a number for you, man, because right now we're digressing. Here in 2011 with polls showing that 70% of evangelicals favor the GOP compared to 24% who favor the Democratic Party. That's three out of every four evangelicals. That are Republican. So
okay,
I didn't even have to look that. Well, evangelicals is just one. It's just one faction of Christianity. If I looked up Baptist, I'm pretty sure that I will see a similar trend. But I never had to look these numbers up to know that the religious right favors the GOP.
What was Jimmy Carter's religion?
I don't know what was his religion.
He was a Baptist.
Okay.
What was Bill Clinton?
Well, let me ask you this. Has there ever been a non-Christian president?
No, there hasn't been this present president.
I know, because his middle name's Hussein, so he must be some secret imam sent here by the Muslim Brotherhood to bring...
Come on.
Those are the conspiracy theories that you guys on the right like to push. I read it all the time. But bottom line is there hasn't been a non-Christian president in this country at all, whether it's Republican or Democrat. Bottom line is there's a lot of Democrats that are Christian. Most Hispanics vote Democrat, and I'd say 90% of Hispanics are Christian. I'm half Puerto Rican. Everybody on my Puerto Rican side of my family, besides my father, who is an atheist, is Catholic. You know, there's a lot of, you come down south, there's a lot of churches that are predominantly black. They're all Christian. So, and black people, for the most part, vote Democratic. So there are a lot of Democrat Christian voters. Yes, that just goes to show you that the majority religion in this country is Christian. And there has not been not one president that's not Christian. We can debate Obama if you want, but, I mean, he's got a pastor that everybody says is racist, whatever. But, I mean, it's a Christian church that he was going to. So for all intents and purposes, Obama is quote-unquote Christian. So we have not had an Abdul. We have not had a Goldstein. We have not had a Scientologist. We almost had a Mormon. Well, people like to pass Mormons as Christian. You know, that's depending on what your definition of Christian is. If you believe that Jesus came from another planet and you think that's Christianity, then yes, Mitt Romney was Christian. But for the most part, we have not for 100%, we have not had a non-Christian president. So to bring up the religious affiliation of a president is irrelevant. For the most part, people in this country that identify with Christian overwhelmingly go Republican. And you know why? Because Republicans and the right represent their views the best. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not something I'm trying to point out to demonize anybody at this point. I'm just saying, look, Republicans are small government, supposedly, but they're not small government, but that's their whole slogan is they're small government. They are anti-gay, anti-abortion, you know, anti-lifestyle issues that are in the Bible, you know. So
yes,
they represent
the entire GOP, they're social conservatives. You're right.
I wouldn't say the entire GOP. Well, a good portion of it. If they wouldn't win elections.
Why don't you take a look at the MSNBC show?
It ain't about
this
the MSNBC show. It's common sense.
It really is.
You're coming at me with some Fox News stuff, and you're calling me MSNBC. It's obvious, bro. I gave you the numbers. Anybody can Google these numbers, man. You can Google the numbers all day long.
I already told you that. Listen, the media base and stuff like that is going to stick with what sells the most on their angle. So if Fox is going to say that there's a Christian war,
okay,
you know,
I'm glad you brought that up, Pete. I'm glad you brought that up, Pete. So why does it sell the most? Do you know why it sells the most? Because there's
an
audience for it.
Yeah,
because there's an audience for it.
Do you
know
the majority of people were tuning in?
Let me ask you this, because you know why you're answering your own questions, Pete. I feel that you're coming to an awakening any minute now because you're answering your own questions.
There's absolutely no awakening that's coming.
I can feel it. You know why? Let me ask you this. What is the number one rated news network in the country right now?
Fox News.
And do you know that it slaughters every other news program? It's more than MSNBC, CNBC, and like CNN combined. And they are predominantly right. There's nothing left wing about Fox News. The bottom line is there is a large market for right-wing, Christian, neoconservative viewpoints on TV and in entertainment.
I want to cut in there for a minute. I just want to break this paradigm that the mainstream media is so huge and powerful. I saw a post by Newsbusters earlier today, and I made a comment on it, and I just want to bring it up to you guys, too, and get your little takes on it while you continue this passionate debate. But, they came out and they said just exactly what you were saying. You know, Fox News is bigger than all the other ones combined. Their ratings are topping the charts, and, you know, they're the best. And O'Reilly's show in particular. Well, O'Reilly's show had unique viewers. I think it was 2.78 million. 2.78 million. Less than 3 million people watch Bill O'Reilly, and this is supposed to be the top show in the mainstream media. And, you know, it doesn't deserve the title mainstream anymore. 2.78 million out of 316 million people in the United States.
Over 200 million of them
were between 15 and 64. These are like the people that go out and vote, people that are coming up with ideas for the future. I mean, this is, and no one is paying attention to them. So to say that that what they're doing is really having an effect.
I'll Google this for you. If you look at how many people voted, let me type this into Google. How many people voted in the 2012 election? Now, a lot of you, you're right.
102 million.
How many?
I'm taking a guess. 102 million.
Let me take presidential election voter statistics from statisticbrain.com. Let's see, how many, voter turnout, 126 million.
That's pretty close.
Okay, let's see, 132 before that, and, you know, those are elevated numbers because, well, here, you know what, you want to hear a cool statistic? Look at this, in 1980, 86 million, 84, 92, 88, 91, 92, 104, 96 million. In the year 2000, 105. Then from 2004, 2008, 2012, you got 122, 132, and 126. Now, the reason why it jumps, and I'll tell you why, is because after 9/11, 2004 was the first election after 9/11, and there was a big, you know, John Kerry and Bush. Bush was running on the whole "I protected America" thing, blah blah blah. A lot of people were scared and shit into going to vote for the guy that was going to be tough on terrorism. And then there was a very large liberal anti-war faction that went to vote for Kerry. So we had 9/11, which influenced 2004. And 2008 was the largest voter turnout, I say, in American history, because this only goes all the way back to 1952, and that's 62 million. The largest voter turnout in American history was 2008. And what happened in 2008? We had the first half black presidential candidate to ever run.
Yeah.
And in 2012, once again, it was very big because you had a black guy running. You know, it's still very monumental. So the last three elections are elevated for a specific reason. We had 9/11 that influenced 2004. I hope we can all agree with that. We have 2008 and 2012 for obvious reasons. We have an ethnic person that's in the White House. Okay. Now, when we talk about the people that are watching the news, right? And Tim brought up a good point that compared to the general population, not a lot of people are watching the news. First of all, we understand that the general population in this country is completely brainwashed into entertainment and not news. Okay.
Absolutely.
Nobody really likes the news. Everybody likes to be entertained with sports, football, reality TV. Fox News is not going to compete with primetime shows like Sons of Anarchy or Breaking Bad. I know I'm not tuning into Fox News. So you got a majority of the people that are just entertained, that want to be entertained and keep their head in the sand. They're not tuning in. Then you have people like us. Well, people like me and Tim. I don't know about Pete. He sounds like he's a big Fox News fan. But me, people like me and Tim and activists, we're not tuning into the mainstream media either because we can't stand it. Okay.
I watch all the White House press releases.
And then there's the people that do watch the news. And of course, Fox News is not going to get the entire lion's share, the entire 100% share of all people that watch the news. It's going to be scattered, you know, amongst what your political affiliation is. You know, liberals will watch MSNBC, Republicans will watch Fox News. So the fact that only 2.5 or close to 3 million people are watching Fox News a year or whatever the statistic is may not seem like a lot compared to the general population, but you got to consider, look, there's not a lot of people that watch the news anyway. The majority of the people that watch the news, Tim, those are the people that typically go out and vote for every election.
I knew you were going to say that, and that's what I'm saying. How many people voted in the last election? You said that it was the biggest. What was
126 million. No, the, in 2008.
Okay, so you're talking about
American
3 million people. If all of them voted against 150 million?
But here's the thing. That's why I brought up the fact that look at these events that led. See, before that, though, Tim, before 2004, before the first election after 9/11, you've only had the voter turnout in this country crack 100 million twice, in 2000 and in 1992. And it gradually goes up because the population in this country has gone up. It jumped significantly. It takes the largest jump in history was from 105 million to 122. That's a 17 million voter jump. That's the largest in history from what I can see from one election to the next. Okay.
All right,
we
with all the mainstream media combined, and with you guys were talking coming off. With all the mainstream media combined, you're talking about maybe 50 million votes. And even if they could all get them in cahoots and all to swing the same way, that's only a third of the vote that you're talking about. And we'll see much closer margins to that. So I really just don't think they matter. I think people watch, you know, whatever they click through them, and if it's not something interesting, they change it. I mean,
yeah.
Well,
you know, listen, I will say this. You know, if people give Fox News a bad rap all the time, but I will tell you this, Fox News does pay attention when libertarians are calling, you know, and focusing on the network and stuff like that. That is the one thing that doesn't go on with MSNBC or
they
any
all
of these liberal.
First
you know,
of all,
challenge.
Why would it,
well,
that
well,
doesn't make any sense, Pete? Why would MSNBC pay, for number one? Why would MSNBC pay attention to libertarians when they're a left wing program? What do they have? With,
no,
you know,
I'm
what?
Not saying that.
But number two, there are other parties
in this country that are non, you know,
Pete,
you know,
there are no libertarians that tune into Fox News. None.
There's no
there
libertarian.
Are no libertarian.
Okay.
No.
No
If you tune into Fox News and you watch Fox News and you agree with the whole neoconservative mindset, you are not ideologically libertarian.
How do you explain John Stossel, or how do you explain Judge Napolitano having his own show for 2 years? How do you explain that?
Because you know why? Because there is a rising libertarian movement in this country, and Fox News is trying to capitalize on that market.
Absolutely.
So they throw a libertarian on there. But
yes,
the majority of the people that are watching Fox News, look.
Listen, you can't hit on one side and then totally say that the other side is not completely 100% in bed for their constituents and focus hard for their demographic.
Well, of course, bro. Of course, the reason why we're talking about the conservatives now is because the original topic of this conversation was how there's a lot of homophobia, and well, I'm not allowed to use that word because of what Larry said, but there's a lot of anti-gay and bigotry that coming from the libertarian right. So that's why right now the Tea Party and that whole right wing is the target of this conversation. If you want to have a conversation for the last half hour about, let's say, gun control and gun grabbers and abortion clinics and stuff like that and Obamacare and big government, we can talk about that and you'll hear me bash the left. But just this topic was about the whole, you know, religious aspect of it. And like I told you, and I read the statistics, majority of Christians identify with the GOP. You know, that's just that That's something that should have been pretty obvious. I didn't even have to Google it. But we can switch gears. If it's making you feel uncomfortable bashing the right only, we can bash the left. We can do it, dude. We can.
Listen, it does not make me feel uncomfortable. But what you have to, you know, from my perspective. So,
but Pete,
the people that are listening,
I'm trying to look from your perspective. It baffles
from
the mind.
From my perspective, for the people that are listening, I'm a hardcore conservative. Yes, I'm homo. A veteran, and I'm a Buddhist. I'm not even a big Christian. I'm a Buddhist. So to paint the GOP in a way that essentially just says that this is it, you know, you're a standard Christian, and that's the only way that you can be a fucking a GOP supporter is absurd.
Well, no, it's not the only way. Come on, I don't talk in absolutes. I mean, sometimes I will talk in absolutes. You'll catch me on it, and I'll correct myself. Like I said, there are no libertarians that tune into Fox News. I'm probably wrong about that. Matter of fact, I'm definitely wrong about that. There are some. I don't like to talk in absolutes. But the vast majority of Republicans are Christian, and they don't agree with your lifestyle. I want to know how the hell you feel like you fit in to that crowd. How do you feel like you fit in with the Rand Paul crowd? You know, like
why not? You know what I'm saying? I manage a small business in town.
Let me get your opinion on this, Pete. All right, let me get your opinion on these two things. Number one, there was a recent spattering match among activists and people of the Liberty Movement because there was a cake maker that said he would rather go out of business than serve gays a cake for their wedding. Okay, and all the Republicans loved it. He's freedom of speech. He's just respecting his Jesus Christ and blah, 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 this and that. Now, you're gay. How does that make you feel to see that all of your the political affiliation that you identify with, they're all attacking your lifestyle. They're all supporting some jerk-off that said he'd rather go out of business than serve a cake to a gay married couple. Like that, I mean, look, first of all, to be that kind of business owner is an absolute moron. Why would you deny money from somebody just because it's a gay wedding? Money is money. For a business owner to intentionally harm his livelihood and his business over something like that, these people are brainwashed. These people are retarded.
That's calculated.
These Republicans, are dumb. To risk business.
A stance like that, it's just, I'm sorry, did I cut you off, Tim?
No, go ahead. I'm coming.
You know, from a stance like that, it's just, look, that doesn't affect me. Like, you can tell me all day long that I'm going to hell, you're not going to serve me, whatever the case is. Like, at the end of the day, I still have those Federal Reserve notes, you know, that may pay your bills or may not, you know. So none of that, you know, that doesn't affect me. You know what I mean? I'm not, like, looking to the government like, oh, we're going to take this guy out of business because he won't serve
me. How does it make you feel that Chick-fil-A had a huge boost in business after the owner came out and was anti-gay marriage? Like, why? Like, does it make you feel like, you know, why are all these Republicans supporting this crap instead of vilifying this person, instead of saying, hey, we're libertarians, you know, we're true conservatives, we believe in individual liberty, you know, and here you are talking bad against gays. No, there's your constituents, your demographic, your political demographic is feeding into an ideology that pretty much hates your lifestyle and hates people like you. How do you fit into that?
For one, my political lifestyle and my political support goes to capitalism. It doesn't go just because I'm gay. You know what I'm saying? But dialing that back even further, you know, if you look at that, for example, look at the NRA. Like, I mean, look at guns, for example. No matter which way you fall on the spectrum, the gun owner is always going to win. The businessman is always going to win. It's marketing. It has no direct effect on me because a certain group doesn't want to market or doesn't find my lifestyle or whatever the case is, you know, acceptable in their religious belief or whatever the case is. I mean, Chick-fil-A, for one, closes on Sunday. Actually, every single Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I mean? And that's their thing. I mean, they have essentially, as a business, said, you know what? We're going to forego all of that profit for that. I mean, either way you look at it, it comes down to capitalism. And why I support the GOP is because of capitalism. it's not necessarily because of, because they're anti-gay or they,
yeah, but the GOP,
know.
Look, the GOP is not for capitalism, though. That's the fraud. That's the left-right paradigm, man. And one of these days you're going to get out of that left-right paradigm, and you're going to see that the GOP is not for capitalism. The GOP is for capitalism and corporatism.
You guys are just so bitter over this Ron Paul fiasco in 2012.
I'm bitter over Ron Paul fiasco.
I was against the left-right paradigm before I even knew who Ron Paul was, man. They're all talking the same crap. It's false fight. They're getting us to fight about things that they don't have any jurisdiction over in the first place. Why the hell should they be determining marriage? It's the union between two people.
I will tell you this. Even if you're going to ignore the fact that you guys are bitter on the fucking Ron Paul stuff, which I'm pretty sure you are, but either way, I mean, if you look at it, like, from any other perspective, like, obviously, okay, you know, what it comes down to at the end of the day is, like, you're looking at capitalism in the sense that it really does exist, but on the national level, and this is where I kind of draw back from a lot of you guys. A lot of you guys fight stuff on national level, and what I try to get people to push is local level, because that's when you still have the opportunity to focus on your government. And why it matters so much is that...
You can no longer say you guys, because I'm right there with you. We should localize, decentralize, get away from all this national crap. No person in California should have any say what I'm doing here in Florida, especially...
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I mean, if you look at a guy like for example, Cory Booker... had a special election in this race, and he ran up against the hardest right-wing guy in the bluest of states ever, here in my state. And he only lost by 10% in that election. And he was outraised 9 million to 1. Like Cory Booker had an $8 million advantage on him, and he didn't raise it in Jersey. He raised it in California. So that shows you where his loyalty lies when he – you know, now that he's in D.C.
Right.
My biggest thing is that there's so much money that goes out there and stuff like that. And why I talk about and why I advocate for the GOP is the reality is, one, there's two parties. You're not going to get away from that. If you're voting Libertarian, you're wasting your fucking time. If you're voting Constitutionalist or Green Party or any of these other fucking garbage-ass organizations, stuff like that, your best bet is to get in and grow the tent.
First of all, here's my take on it, and we can go back and forth on this if you want. And I'll tear you down. I would rather see a traditional liberal in the White House than any GOP. As a matter of fact, if Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders ran up against anybody, any Rand Paul, I'd be voting Democrat.
I'd rather see
them in there than the Republican.
Wow.
There's nothing about the Republican Party that really appeals to me. It really doesn't.
But you love the welfare state, so that's a different story.
How do I
know
love the welfare state? Why you don't even know why I would vote for those people. Well, why would I vote? Why do I love the welfare state?
Well, because you're a product of it.
How am I a product of it?
Well, you're a product.
Because you get food stamps,
Danny.
Absolutely. But you know what? I pay for that, though.
You pay for it when?
I pay for it when I pay taxes. What are you talking about? Every time I see a paycheck and I see minus. If I make $600 in 1 week and I come back with $400, where's my money going? It's going to those programs.
It doesn't all go to the food stamps. It doesn't go to the other programs.
A portion of it does.
There's a mismanagement of money for sure.
But you know what? That's even more of a reason to collect. I'm just in a position in my life where I meet the whatever qualifications I can to get the EBT. You know, I live with my girlfriend. She's on disability. I have a child. You may not meet those requirements, but if you did, you'd be an idiot not to take it. Now, if I get a $600 paycheck, right, and I get $400 back, and only about 5% goes to food stamps and another 5% goes to Medicaid, and the other 90% goes to defense and all this other crap, that's 90% of the taxes that are being taken that I can't redeem. I can redeem food stamps. I can get Medicaid. I can pay my taxes for Medicaid and food stamps and then get some of that back in the form of those programs that I'm paying for. If Republicans want to be bitter about not getting those programs that they're paying for, then that's a personal issue with you guys. I will never ever fault anybody that who collects EBT, welfare, food stamps, if they work for a living. The problem I see is the people that don't work for a living and they live off the welfare state, that's the issue. Because that those people are just bleeding it dry, you know. But for someone like me who I work, you know what I'm saying? I work for a living. I've made a $9,000 paycheck for 1 week once, and I took home $6,000 of that. That's $3,000. Of my money out going towards taxes. Do you know how much I get in food stamps a month? $200. What's 200 times 12? Is anybody smart enough to do that math real quick?
2400.
So I've spent more in 1 week on taxes on one paycheck than
one
I would
time.
Redeem in 1 year of getting EBT.
One check.
But what about every other check my entire life? Pete, I'm 31 years old. I've been working on the books since I was 15. What about every other check? That's 1 week of my entire life is worth more than an entire year's worth of food stamps. So it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter if I collect food stamps until the day I die, it will always be a losing investment for me. I will never get more money in food stamps than I've put in taxes, even if I get food stamps for as long as I live. And I won't be getting
it for as long
as I live.
What does that sound like? That sounds like you're entitled to that money, right?
I am entitled to that money because I pay for it. Yes, it's my money.
There we go. And that
okay,
is
so
why I totally...
Yeah, but I think the mistake you're making is thinking that he's not working for his money. There's a whole welfare state that I agree with you is draining the system, and it's tearing us all down. But that's a class that feels entitled to do nothing and get everything.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the interesting thing, is that what we have essentially created is an addiction throughout the nation to where you normally, if you were short, you can go to your family. Your extended family. But what the government has done...
You don't know me, Pete. I've only been collecting this EBT for like a year and a half. There's no addiction. If I got my EBT turned off today, my family would not starve anyway. Look, like I said, I meet some sort of minimum requirements. You know why I meet the minimum requirements? When I lost my... You know when I first got the EBT? This is the first time I ever got the EBT card. I worked for Sprint for about 9 months. Actually, this is before Sprint. I worked for DirecTV. I was a DirecTV technician down here in Florida for a company called MazTech, and I was making about $500-$600 a week. I didn't qualify for EBT, obviously, because I was working on the books. When I lost my job, when I got laid off in March of 2011 from MazTech, I did what any smart, sane person would do. The day I got home, when they fired me and took my badge, I went on the computer, I filed for unemployment, and I filed for EBT. Do you know why I filed for those? Because number one, I pay for them, and number two, I don't know when I can't predict the future of when I'm going to get hired again, and I have a family I got to take care of in the meantime. So I applied for those in the meantime. I got approved for the EBT before I got my next job. I didn't get my next job until about a month and a half later. How EBT works is they approve you based on your loss of job. I had approved to the Department of Children and Families that I lost my income. I went to my company, MazTech. I had them fill out the whole thing about the loss of income, had the supervisor sign it. I faxed it back over. They got back to me quickly, got my EBT card. Then about 4 weeks later, I got hired at Sprint. Now, how it works with EBT is this. They approve you for 1 year, and then they review you at the end of the year, okay? So you can get approved for EBT in May, and in June you get a job making $1 million a year on the books, and you still have that EBT until May of next year when they review. Okay, I worked for Sprint for 8 months, from July to about April of the next year. Right, I didn't get let go. I quit because they wanted me to relocate to a mall in Clearwater when I was living in Temple Terrace, and my girlfriend was about 5 months pregnant, and I couldn't be that far away. I couldn't drive an hour and a half away, you know, in her condition. So I had to resign. I filed for unemployment. I got approved for unemployment. I filed for, and I had the review for my food stamps again. I was unemployed, and I was on unemployment. So when they did my review, I was eligible again. And it just so happens that every time that I've been eligible, I was just jobless. Then I started working for this insurance company called American General. I didn't start till May. I had my review in April. In April, I was off the books working at a pizzeria. I wasn't on the books. They reviewed my situation with EBT, and I got approved again. If it comes down to where they have to review me while I'm on the books and I see a work history and they determine that I don't get it anymore, that day is going to come. I do not plan on being able to collect EBT for the rest of my life. There will come a time where I have back to the same old routine of paying taxes for a system that I can't redeem myself. In the meantime, if I can get that money back in any way, I'm going to do it. Pete, do you think I'll be able to collect EBT for the rest of my life if I work on the books, if I'm going to have a career?
Yeah, I mean, you can make a career.
You think I'll be able to do it? Well, then you don't know anything about the system.
Absolutely.
I'd have to perpetually be unemployed.
Let's not listen. I came out of the Army, and you know, the Army was filled with my paperwork, and we've talked about this before. But I came out of the Army and stuff like that, and because I didn't have my DD-214, I was told I had to wait 90 days before I could refile for unemployment, which most of, you know, veterans do coming out of the Army.
Oh, the welfare state guy, huh? Look at you, man, filing for unemployment.
So the entire majority of my family that has been paying in since they came over from Sicily had said, you know what, we've never been on it. Take a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So
have
I go
ever
ahead
filed?
And I apply.
Has anybody in your family
ever
filed?
Yes, yes. No, nobody's
they were
ever
found
filed in my family. I
okay,
was the
well,
absolute
then who's
first.
Well, who? Okay, so if you don't file for it, you can't get it. If you don't file
for it because of
some pride, Pete, that's not my fault. That's your personal belief. My personal belief
is, if I qualify for it. You know what my dad told me? I have two arms and two legs, and when my mom left my dad and stuff like that, you know, when they split up and stuff, and my dad was left with one paycheck and three kids, he said, I have two arms and two legs, and I'll be goddamned if the government will tell me how I need to raise you guys. And that's what he did. And that's the problem we have in the United States right
now.
Well,
the government ain't telling me
how to raise my kid.
Because
they're not. But you're taking a handout. You're taking a handout.
It's not, how is it a handout if I pay for it, Pete? That's what you don't understand, Pete. How is it a handout if I pay for it? Look, you're coming at me with the perspective that you're a nice little slave that enjoys getting robbed and raped up the ass by the IRS, and, you know, that's just the way it is. For some pride reason, you won't go and apply for these benefits that you're paying for. You will allow the government to forcibly take it from you every week, but you won't go and make the effort to redeem it back because you feel that you'd be freeloading. How is it freeloading if you pay for it?
On that note, I'm kind of in the middle here with you guys because at the same time, I feel like that same kind of pride that I don't want to go apply for a food stamp, but I kind of come at it with a different perspective because, you know, I see how the money's mismanaged, and I see, like, I do the same thing. I unfortunately work on the books. I'm trying to get off of that so I can try out this free man on the land thing, which everybody should look into if you don't know about it. But, you know, I'm trying to be sovereign. I'm trying to be independent, so I don't want to go and get food stamps. That's a personal decision that I make. But I also see the money that's being taken out that Danny's talking about, and I also see how it's being mismanaged. I don't think that the program itself is a problem. I think the way that the money's being used is a problem. We're giving it away to these people in these welfare states, or in these welfare states, a state of minds, basically, being brainwashed into thinking that this is acceptable to be taking money and getting their free Obama phones, and, you know, everybody can just have shit
exactly.
for free,
and
all the rich people
what?
Will pay for it.
And you know what, Tim? That's the point I'm trying to, Tim, you know what? You make a great point, because you know what pisses me off? This is what pisses me off. Me and my girl, we talk about it all the time. You know, we get the EBT, we go shopping for food, right? We don't spend it all in one shot. We'll just go and we'll get stuff. As a matter of fact, dude, I still have money on that card, and the majority of the food that I pay for my debit card. I don't leave the house. My girl holds on to that card mostly. It really doesn't stay in my wallet. Once in a while, if I got to go to the store, I'm getting food, give me the card, I'm going to go get it. I don't want to spend money out of my account. But today, I went to go buy juice for my kid. I paid for my debit card out of my bank account. But you know, me and my girl, we talk about this all the time. What we can't stand is seeing people with the EBT with loads and loads of soda, chips, candy, garbage in their cart. Garbage. And they ain't working because I live in a poor neighborhood where really nobody works. Trust me when I tell you they don't work. They're out here till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning drinking beers on a Tuesday night. They don't work. As a matter of fact, I heard somebody yell at a security guard here saying nobody works here. That's the thing that pisses
me off.
You have
security.
But that's why, I don't live in a very nice neighborhood. I live in a predominantly, you know, crime-ridden, poor neighborhood where everybody's on EBT. I live in a neighborhood where if a store doesn't accept EBT, they're not going to be in business. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Nothing pisses me off more than seeing people take their EBT card and waste it on junk and they don't work. That motivates me more to get EBT. That motivates me more to get food stamps and use my food stamps because those people are using it to buy soda and crap and garbage. And they're taking it. Remember when the EBT was down? I experienced it because my card didn't work. I had to take a manual order. People were buying food with their EBT card when they knew they didn't have any money on it because the system was down. They were taking advantage. I didn't do that, though, Pete. I went to the supermarket. I stood in line for 15 minutes, waited for the cashier to make the phone call to check the balance manually, and then I took my food. I don't freeload. I don't take advantage like everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Those people that take advantage of the system, Pete, is the reason why I get mine, is the reason why I will never stop claiming EBT.
Because
those people that take advantage of the system are bleeding it dry. Those people that are taking advantage of the system, they're another reason why I do it. They're another reason why I do it. Because if I don't take it, they will. If you spend your tax money over and over and over again.
That's a bad ideology to like look at it and try to suggest that, if they don't spend it, or if I don't spend it, they're going to spend it.
They will, yes. Somebody else is going to spend my money. Yes, somebody else is going to spend my money, so I'm going to go get it.
But it's not your money.
That's the point.
Because it's not all going to your welfare.
How is it not my money? It doesn't.
It's not all
I just
going
gave
to your
you
welfare.
I just gave you an example. It doesn't matter what it's going for, bro. I pay. I pay every week out of my check. It doesn't matter. I've had paychecks on the books for W-2 since I was 15 years old, selling newspaper subscriptions for the Staten Island Advance when I was a sophomore in high school. When I first got my working papers, way back in the day, probably before
you
were even born.
Can you at least acknowledge that Social Security is pretty much bankrupt, right? And that is
I know that already.
Your grandparents' money or your parents' money, right?
Yeah,
but that's a problem with the system, not with him wanting to get his food stamps.
You can get your food stamps all day long. I have no problem with that. But my biggest problem is that whole mindset of it, that it's mine. No, it's not. Listen, if you want to repeal part of the Constitution that says we don't have to pay income tax, then, that's great. You know what I mean? The idea is that doesn't all go to food stamps. You know what I mean? That's not all your money.
Well, Pete, I just made that point. Elizabeth Warren is going to tell you that you pay for the air that you breathe. Yeah, but Pete, I addressed that already. I told you if I see a $600 paycheck and I get $400 back and only 10% of that paycheck goes to food stamps and Medicare or whatever, that means 90% of my check that the government's taking is going to programs that I don't even get to use. I don't even get to use. It goes to the military. The hell do I need a large military for to go fight for oil? The oil prices are going up the more the wars start. The more countries we bomb, the higher the oil prices go up. I don't want a big army.
It's not going for oil.
I know.
It's going to protect the actual dollar.
I know. Yeah. Okay. So you know what? You were in the military. You feel that you have to sacrifice your life to protect the dollar. Come on, bro. So what about other countries? Are they going to war to protect their dollar? It's nonsense, bro. The wars are for oil. They're for land.
Yes.
Bottom line. So I'm paying for a large military. I don't want that large military. I'm paying for what else? What else am I paying for? What else do the taxes go to?
The surveillance
they build
state.
They build a road in California. Your Social Security, your Medicare.
All of those things.
My TSA. So I'm paying a portion of my taxes. So my 19-month-old can get molested at an airport when he wants to fly. My Social Security, okay, I'll be collecting Social Security if it's even still there. Okay, what else? My Medicaid? I don't even get Medicaid. I got Medicaid.
Medicare. I don't collect Medicare. You will eventually.
I can't collect Medicare unless you're 60-something years old or if you're disabled. I'm not seeing any Medicare now. How do I know that Medicare money is going to be there for me in 30-something years?
If you're supporting Elizabeth Warren, the money grows on trees and it'll be there.
I support Elizabeth Warren because our anti-war views. That's the reason why I would. Why would I? The system, as far as the monetary system goes, that's something that separately we'd have to fight. But to get somebody in there that will not change the monetary system, whether it's Elizabeth Warren or Rand Paul, one will keep sending money to Israel, the other one probably wouldn't. And if she would, then you believe I'd be protesting. But you know what? I won't even vote anyway. I don't believe in voting. I voted for Ron Paul, and that was it. And I swore on my life I would never vote again. I just said I would rather see someone like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. I'd rather see an anti-war liberal candidate in there than a pro-war Republican candidate.
Yeah, guess what happened? We had that in 2008. How'd that work out?
I know. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to fall for the whole thing again. I'm not going to fall for the whole – that's why I'm not going to vote, because I'm not going to fall for that whole thing again.
I'm glad that you brought up the point about not
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm glad you brought up the point about not voting, not believing in voting, or, you know, like that. And, you know, and to a point, to a degree, I'll agree with you, because, you know, the electronic voting system has really destroyed voting. There's no credible way to look back on it and make sure that the votes were that the way that they were. It's all electronic coding, and if you don't understand it, then you can't verify. So
right.
My question that I would propose to you is, would you be in favor of voting if the election system were changed somehow to where we got away from electronic voting and went back to maybe like a paper standard or some other way to verify?
It would depend, Tim. The answer to that question, it would depend on who the candidate is. It would have to be a candidate.
Well,
like,
obviously,
like Ron Paul,
but if your man was in there, would you support him and go out and vote for him? Like, for example, you're for Ron Paul.
If we changed the voting system
to where you could verify, would you go vote for Ron Paul?
I would. Well, Ron Paul's probably not even going to be alive in 2016.
This is a hypothetical question, guys.
Well, here's the thing. I would vote for a Green Party candidate or an independent candidate or a Libertarian candidate. I would vote for any one of those candidates over Republican and Democrat. And, Pete, you can laugh all day long, but we can go back and forth with knowledge about the mainstream candidates and their – and you know what's funny, Pete? I remember not too long ago you were laughing at me on Facebook because I brought up the whole Prescott-Bush thing. And how you said, it's a conspiracy theory. You want to debate me on that thing now? You want me to wipe the floor with you with that? There's no conspiracy theory about it.
You're an Alex Jones.
What's the conspiracy about Prescott Bush? What is the conspiracy behind that? Please tell me what's not true. Tell me.
Well, let me argue first. I don't even know what you're talking about. So let's see.
Me and Pete had a conversation about Bush or whatever, and I brought up the comment on his Facebook thing that Prescott Bush, George W. Bush's grandfather was an American Nazi. They marched on the streets of New York with swastikas and had the American Nazi Party establishment at Madison Square Garden in the 30s. They were on record financiers of the Hitler regime. John Foster Dulles was an ardent public supporter of Hitler's Nazi Germany. Prescott Bush worked for the Brown Brothers Harriman, owned the Brown Brothers Harriman Corporation that laundered Hitler's money in gold. And when we're talking about the Bush family, the Walker family, all the powerful families in the country at that time in the 30s. That financed Hitler. The reason why they were financing Hitler is not because they hated Jews. It really didn't have anything to do with Jews. The fact that Hitler was very right-wing. It was very pro-fascist. Hitler destroyed the union movement in his country. That's what he did. Hitler was very anti-union. He sold his country to private corporations. That was the big thing. And this country at that time was the whole labor movement. This was before FDR's New Deal. This is when a labor movement in this country was where people were getting their skulls bashed in at picket lines. You know, this was around that time. That was the history that was going on in this country. It didn't have anything to do with, I'm not saying that Prescott Bush hated Jews or he was a big Nazi, but they supported the Hitler regime because Hitler was anti-union. There was people in this country on the left that supported the Trotskyites and the Bolsheviks in Russia. But that was the point. The elite in this country that were right-wing supported and financed Hitler. And it's on record. And Pete was going on about how it was an Alex Jones conspiracy, like as if I can't pull things up. I can't pull anything historical up.
Now let's get his view on it. Go for it, Pete.
No, but it's so interesting because, I mean, you talk about that and stuff like that. Like, you also have to understand is that at that point, the Republican Party, and you say right-wing, but you have to think about that time. What essentially you had is a progressive party that developed. You know what I mean? Before that, you know what I mean? Maybe 20 years before that, where they had their stronghold and stuff. And
yeah, well, the Progressive Party grew from the labor movement. That was the point.
Yes.
The left wing became from the labor movement because the corporatism in this country at that time, there were no labor laws. You know, people were getting their skulls bashed in at the picket lines. There were no laws protecting the worker. Workers were working for pennies. The same situations and conditions that are in sweatshops in China. You know, you could find them in factories in the United States, and workers were
not.
It's history, man. You can't.
You
can read it yourself. I'm not going to debate you on things that I know for a fact from history from just reading books. You can look it up for yourself, Pete. I'm not trying to make it up. There's no agenda here.
We will have to extend this debate on this. I would love to elaborate and really get hard into this.
You know what, Pete? In the meantime, if you're really interested, and you're probably not going to order the book because I don't think you're that interested in it, but if you want to arm yourself with some knowledge before next week's show, and if you're really interested in learning and not just, you know, reinforcing your already pre-existing beliefs about right-wing and GOP, there's a good book that you can get on Amazon and probably have it delivered within 2 days. It's called Labor's Untold Story. It's a very, very good book. Shows the history of the labor movement, and it's unbiased. It really is, because it Samuel Gompers was the big man from the AFL, and Samuel Gompers is like the Jesus of all the modern day unions. But this book bashes Samuel Gompers as someone that sold out the unions and sold out the AFL to big corporations and big government. So it's a non-biased view. It's all historically accurate. It's historically cited. And if you're interested in learning about the subject, the problem is with people, when they want to learn about a subject, most people aren't interested in learning things new. I'm not saying that that's you. I'm not trying to insult you in that way. But I'm just saying, for the most part, when I'm at odds with somebody and I tell somebody, hey, I recommend this book. You know, I had a conversation with somebody about 9/11. I told them how, you know, there were Israeli spies in the United States posing as art students, and they were calling me saying that I hate Jews. And I said, well, look, if you're interested, here's a book that you can read about it, and you can go on the websites and see the news articles at that time when the government was arresting those art students that were Mossad. Like, people don't want to really look into things because they know that once you're exposed to information, right, you can't in good conscience pretend like you didn't see it. Because if you do that, then you're really a religious fanatic and you're not using your rational brain. So that's why, for the most part, people really aren't interested in looking at information that contradicts their beliefs, because people are comfortable in their beliefs. I don't think you like that, Pete. I think that, you know, you'd enjoy this book, and that you're the type of person that that looks forward to learning stuff. So if you're interested in learning Labor's Untold Story, guys, we got to go. We'll have you both. All of us will be on the show again next week if you guys can do it. The week after next, on the 5th of January, I'm going to probably have to have you guys host together. I won't be here. All right?
Sounds like a party.
But next week,
yeah,
at least two of us, maybe all three of us, next Sunday, Ragamuffin Radio. Thanks for the great show today, guys. Check the podcast.
Yeah, man. Do it.